Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged, a podcast made for the lefties amongst us. Politically Enraged is a podcast about politics, both British and further afield, and a place to talk about society and how it needs to be improved for everyone. You can find us on Twitter at Political Rages, Instagram at Politically Enraged. You can sponsor the show on Ko-fi, or you can follow my personal socials. I'm Davey Moo, across all social media, and I'm here to talk to real people about real problems and work out how we move forward. Enjoy. People of the UK, just a general question. Exactly what is it going to take for us to stand up and say that we can't have this anymore? Why is it that we've lived on our knees for the last 12 years? I'm talking about right from the start of this Tory government. When Labour were taken out of power by the Tories with a massive sweeping majority because of the ostensible smooth foreheadedness of David Cameron, they implemented harsh austerity measures saying that they needed to balance the books because supposedly Labour had left no money. It's been roundly disproven that that wasn't the case. And the Tories implemented austerity anyway, and they managed to get the deficit down, but borrowing still kept going up. So where did that money go? Interesting thoughts there, but still not the point of this. All of that was the fomenting of where we are now. A fundamental change and a breaking of our democracy. But even that word's not the right thing to use. We've never had a democracy in the UK because our voting system specifically prevents any kind of democratic decisions. First of all, there's almost 17 million people in the UK who just flat don't vote. They don't give a shit. They don't care what happens. Are they insulated? Are they disaffected? Dunno. Don't know who they are. But a lot of those people didn't have a say when it came to the Brexit referendum. So who's to say that it's the will of the people? Because a hell of a lot of the people didn't have a choice, didn't have a say. A lot of the people that did have a say, dead now. And a lot of people that were too young, now old enough to vote, no say. And just think how quick we were to implement a fractional Leave vote when it was supposed to be an advisory referendum. And it's now come out that it was so heavily messed with that it's not even a referendum that should have been an advisory one because it was so fucking heavily manipulated by foreign powers with an interest in weakening the UK. Oh, am I in conspiracy theory territory? Really? Tell me, how strong is the UK right now? Of course, the people who believe that Brexit was free and fair will also be the type of people who say that everything's great right now because they just can't handle the fact that the UK is a heaping shithole that's currently being governed over by a bunch of people that don't have a moral mandate or a literal one. At the last election, the Tories won 44% of the vote, which means that 56% of people didn't want them, which is only minor, but if 52 to 48 is enough of a mandate to push things through decisively, then, well, I don't really think that we should be counting that election as a mandate to do anything. I don't know about you. But let's not forget that since that election, we've had Theresa May, and then she got deposed because she wasn't doing a Brexit right. We got Boris Johnson in, who did a Brexit completely wrong, but was lauded for the one that he did by a bunch of servile dickheads in the right-wing press. Then he got deposed, not because he'd fucked up Brexit, not because he'd allowed hundreds of thousands of people to die during the coronavirus pandemic. Nope, because of sex scandal after sex scandal after sex scandal finally coming home to roost and the fact that he knowingly implanted someone into his leadership cabinet who was a sex pervert. And here's the thing. That's the biggest irony of Boris Johnson, is that he has had the toxic masculine, oh, he's just a cheeky chappy bullshit waved through every single stupid decision of his fucking career. And this predates even being in the government. His entire life, Boris Johnson has been shrouded with the protection of, oh, he's just a cheeky chappy, the kind of nonsense bullshit that anyone with a semblance of a brain rattling around in their head can see through. But because of the country that we live in, and because of the ridiculousness of the right-wing press that pervades every fucking moment of our being, it was allowed, not even just allowed, but endorsed. Apparently, having Boris Johnson, the liar of a PM, was priced in, according to a few people that knew him. Even some of the people that used to work with him said that he's completely changed because he had his nose fixed so hard to the idea of power that he gave up the tiny semblance of morals that he once supposedly held. But then finally, he was undone and everyone breathed a sigh of relief. Thank God, there goes the shittest Prime Minister ever. With Liz Truss bounding afterwards like a fucking hapless dog, desperate to take the new spot of worst Prime Minister ever, because after less than a month in power, she's managed to tank the economy so hard that the literal world is about to take a negative hit from it. And meanwhile, we're still being bombarded by right-wing pundits with no fucking idea of how the economy works and no interest in learning, going, oh, we needed bold and decisive measures to fix things. Yep, good luck with pulling out your fucking money in the future, because guess what? This fuck-up was so bad that the actual rich people are paying for it. The fact is that for a very long time we have been in a factional war with poor people, and I'm not just talking about people who are desperately poor, but people that aren't rich, against the people that are, and their enablers. But in the UK, you wouldn't know it. Why? Because we've had this stupid culture war bullshit forced on us for such a long time that we don't even realise it. Who's your real enemy? Some benefit scrounger who manages to get 20k a year out of the government? Or one of the God knows how many super rich people that manages to cash £200,000 in tax breaks by having a really, really good person do their taxes? That's £200,000 that could have gone into your roads, into your schools, into your hospitals, that could have made repairs, that could have been used to privatise companies that we all use all the time. Instead, sat in someone's bank account, not even a UK bank account, a foreign one, to protect it from any kind of usage by the UK government. And all the time, that kind of behaviour is signed off by the UK government. And my favourite thing about it is, all of these people that continually push the culture war narrative. If gay people, or trans people, or people of colour, or foreigners, or any of the fucking demographics that you want to choose that they're always fucking harping on about everywhere, if any of them were an actual tangible threat to you or your existence, then the UK government would easily be able to enact legislation against them pretty fucking quickly. Have they? No. Why? Because they're a useful fucking scapegoat, you daft twats. The entire point is that they are an illusory enemy. The people that make your lives worse aren't the people coming over here on boats. They're the people that continue to allow the system of people coming here on boats, and the people that allow tax cuts for people who should be putting money back into the economy to fix the shit that's broken, and don't. They're the ones that are in charge. They've been in charge for nearly 13 years, and you guys are still sucking down the same excuses of the fact that it's the nasty foreigners and the nasty gays and the nasty trans and the nasty people of colour and the nasty women. When are you going to realise that the actual people in charge, one, aren't doing anything to fix these illusory problems, and two, they aren't actually problems? Do you think I'm mad at the people who live in the village where I come from, who are benefit scroungers? Yeah, I think it's shitty that they subsist on other people's money and all of that stuff, but that's not as egregious as taking tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of pounds of tax money that you owe and taking it away, purposely dodging the money that you owe to the country that allows you to make it, because we're all told to pay our fair share. And I guarantee you, as someone that's on a fairly minimal wage, if I, as a self-employed person, dodged tax somehow with my accountant, I would be put in prison faster than I'd fucking know what to do with. Whereas people that earn 10, 20, 30 times my salary, they get away with it because they're incentivized to do these things so that they can keep making money here, pay the minimal amount of tax, and then they can make friends with Tories who will make sure that they can save even more money. Literally how it happens, and people allow it. And who are the people that we can talk to about these things? Journalists who do the same fucking thing. Journalists who won't hold the government to scrutiny or account because they get access. They get access because they're servile, because they allow the government to do the dodgy shit that it does. Under, of course, the guise of, well, we need to be able to speak to them. If they won't allow you access because you're critical of them, then they're not a good government, and that's something that you should be investigating, you daft sods. When it comes to the status quo that we're in right now, the Tories have been openly malevolent towards the UK ever since they took power. They've told us, you deserve less. We need to do harsh things to fix the problems that you face. And yet, I don't know about you, but I felt a tangible decline year after year after year after year. Not just because of coronavirus, not just because of Brexit, although that's a part of it. Just because of the direct interference of these fucking idiots who don't know what they're doing, who live the rich, privileged lives of complete others to who I am, but insist on condescending to me about how I should live, how I should feel, what I should do. Telling me that I should cut down on coffees and ice creams so that I can afford a mortgage, when every single decade, house prices double. It's not to do with the price of fucking Haagen-Dazs, it's to do with the fact that you people allow the mass purchase of property and the inflation of rent. You do nothing to prevent that. But of course, if I stop going out for fucking Costas, I'll be able to have a mortgage. What kind of ridiculous logic is that? These people are the ones that make the executive decisions about what happens around purchase and safety and all of these things, and they don't fix it because they're too busy coming up with ways to blame the proletariat for our own problems. And the stupidest thing, the proletariat accept it because it's written in a newspaper. I remember once saying to my mum, "You don't actually believe this crap, do you?" about something that was in the Daily Mail, probably about gay people. And she was like, "What's in a newspaper?" And I was like, "That doesn't mean that it's true. It means it's written in a newspaper." I even used the media training that I got in university to demonstrate to her how you can come to a misleading conclusion in a newspaper article. And she still bought the fucking Daily Mail and believed what was written in there. It was so frustrating. As for what we do, I suspect that sooner or later, apparently Liz Truss thinks that the next election is going to be January 25, and I can tell you that if she thinks we're going to wait that long, I've got some bolt cutters that strongly disagree. But the point is, I strongly suspect a Labour government. I have a few issues with Labour, which I've tried to sort of make clear whilst also not coming down on the side of burn Labour to the ground. So I'm going to be as honest as I can in this podcast. Labour have fundamental issues that they really need to deal with. We've seen it in the Ford report. We are currently going through this thing that's going on with Al Jazeera. I'll be honest with you guys, I'm not sure how much I trust anything that comes out of Al Jazeera, considering the links and where they're established, not to mention the fact that they're doing the Labour files, which I wouldn't mind if they were also doing the Conservative files. We ever going to hear about any of the dodgy investigations that you've done into the Conservative Party, please? But Labour do have fundamental problems that need to be addressed. Urgently, because I'm concerned when it comes to the mainstreaming of transphobia in the party through Rosie Duffield, who today was sharing articles written by Sonia Soda and saying that it's silencing women, when broadly women agree with transgender people being allowed to be who they are, undisturbed. This is a niche issue that's affecting a lot of people I care about and is mainstreamed and ignored by Labour, and it bothers me, and they need to do something about it. The problem is that nothing is seen outside of the vacuum it's in. If you hate Labour, you'll fix on all of the problems with Labour and say that's a reason not to vote for them, whilst also simultaneously being able to ignore the people that are in power now. Of course we should be able to ask for more and better. Of course Labour should be better. But Labour could be as close to perfect as possible, and I'd still be oining them about the fact that they aren't that last 5 to 1% perfect. As it is, look at the bigger picture, the broken political sphere that we're in. We have a shit voting system that enables extremists to get into power. We have all of these fundamental issues that we need to deal with. We have been given the shit sandwiches of politics and asked to choose from the fresher shit sandwich or the really cold one that's got flies on it. There is no good choice. And right now, especially, there is no good choice. We have allowed the government to wreak havoc upon us for so fucking long that there is no good choice left. Any way that we turn is going to bring pain. If we choose Labour at the next election, they're going to have to implement harsh restrictions and cuts and all kinds of shit to recoup the damage that the Tories have done, and we'll spend 5 years fucking hating their guts. If the Tories stay in, things will continue to slide the way that they have been into farcicality. God knows where we'd be if we had another 5 years of Tory governance ahead of us. I dread to think, but I'd be desperately trying to fucking leave. And if we're going to open revolt, people will suffer and die, because that's what happens. It's not just a quick week of riots and protests and suddenly the government's gone and democracy is restored. It's abject suffering. There are no good options coming. So we have to choose from what we've got. I see Labour as a vehicle to get closer to where I want to be. It's not an ideal vehicle, but it's the vehicle I've got, and I've just got to put up with it. I know that sucks. I know that that's not enough for a lot of people that listen to this who think that I'm further down left on the spectrum and are probably going to call me a centrist for this, and I just don't care. This political system that we are in is fucked, and I can't not vote, and because that enables the Tories, and I can't vote for Labour enthusiastically without saying any of these things, because that enables them to do a mediocre job and think they're representing me, when the fact is they do things that make me unhappy. I don't want to hear anything about benefits claimants or foreigners from Labour. I just want to see them fix the fucking shit that the Tories have done and start building a better future. And I need them to bring in PR. PR is the best thing that could happen. Finally, the further left of the UK, the people I don't agree with, who also weirdly share my politics, can go and they can have their little socialist gathering of nonsense. Like, there's, to me, it's weird. There's good socialism, which is about fundamentally looking after people and redistributing wealth so that it's fairly spread through everybody. And it's still democratized. Then there's these people who are like, yeah, we want to remove freedom. We want democracy to be completely taken away because we know what's best for people. But we're doing it with good intentions. No, you fucking weirdos. That is just as bad as right-wing authoritarianism. And I don't want either of them, thank you. Are you shocked? But what I know is that we cannot subsist in the system that we're in, as in the broader system of FPTP and five-year elections and all of this stuff. We cannot subsist in this broken system anymore. Things must change on a fundamental level, or we are all screwed. So I guess the point of this now 15-minute rant is just one simple question. What does it take for people to stand up for themselves? I am embarrassed by the UK as a whole, embarrassed at how much shit we will take. And don't get me wrong, it's not like I've been out on the streets myself, but I don't know what I'm doing. I got dragged into political commentary because I was so outraged with what's going on and I have no idea and I'm trying to learn. I would love to set up a local protest in my city. I don't know how. I only discovered the week before last that you need to get insurance for stuff like that. The fuck is insurance for a protest? Ridiculous. But I'm willing to put in the work, and this is what pisses me off. There's so much work ahead of us. Getting the Tories out is the start, not the end. Getting the Tories out is the beginning of the real war, because after that comes a push for a fundamental change to the status quo of all of the shit that's done in this country and how we shore it up and make sure this situation that we're in right now never happens again. Because it cannot. I will not grow old knowing that I am leaving my nephew and my nieces to face this kind of bullshit again as the pendulum naturally swings back. I want to get hold of that pendulum and snap it out of the fucking clock. People in this country have been taught for so long, it's been normalised so deeply that this is just how things are and we need to get on with it. And that's so much bullshit. We deserve so much better than this country could ever offer us. Than any country could offer us, that any political party could offer us. We deserve better than we will ever get. So why do we keep accepting the scraps? As I even said in a blog post today, we keep getting the crumbs. Maybe it's time that we get to eat cake. We have suffered under this government for so long, and we will suffer under the next one because they will have to repair the damage of this government. But it is time for us to say that we will no longer accept this dictatorial, this is for the best and you guys just need to put up with it bullshit that we have foisted on us all the time. We need proper regulation of the press so that we do not normalise and mainstream open bullshit. We need to make sure that we have levers that make it the government accountable to the people. Look at what's happening. Do you know the most common comment I get on all my tweets, on all my videos, on all my posts on Instagram, on everything? How do we call a general election? We literally can't. And of course it makes sense that we can't just call a general election at the drop of a hat. Because imagine what right-wingers would do every single time, like Keir Starmer wiped his nose wrong. General election, it's not, it's ridiculous is this. But there has at some point to be some kind of accountability to the people. And we've had all of those levers removed under the Tories. Fuck me, it's not even legal for us to go out in the street and protest. And my favourite thing about that is that gender-critical people, like Rosie Duffield, constantly whinge about being silenced and cancelled and, oh, they won't even hear us out. Where the fuck were you lot when the literal right to protest got taken away, bitching about where someone was fucking pissing and about alien genital cartoons? Fuck me, where are they now with all of the stuff that's happening to women worldwide? Did you know that in the whole week of Roe v. Wade being overturned in the US, J.K. Rowling didn't tweet about it once, and Maya Forstatter just made it fucking worse. She doesn't believe that period poverty exists, which is news to me, everyone, because I did research into period poverty where I spoke to people who were poor and suffered from period poverty who very much assured me that the thing that they were going through was actually real. And that's the kind of bullshit that the press will mainstream. Why? Because it diverts attention away from the continual failings of a government that doesn't care if you or me or my dad or my sisters die because of their malfeasance. And we allow it. So as I've said, when is the UK going to get off its knees and say to these people, no more? And my favourite phrase that I've been trying to normalise for a very long time, we deserve better. Thanks as always for joining us here on Politically Enraged, the Lefties Refuge. If you do want to follow me on social media so we can chat about the episodes and future upcoming information, you can follow me on Twitter, either at Political Rages or Davy Moo. You can follow me on Instagram at Politically Enraged or Davy Moo. And you can follow me on TikTok at Davy Moo. If you do want to sponsor the show on Ko-fi, you can just search Politically Enraged on Ko-fi. Join me again soon for another episode of Politically Enraged. And remember, get politically engaged and stay politically enraged.